Croeso, and welcome to Tales for Wales, the pod that never fails to turn the air blue with a cheeky bit of whiffy banter. I'm sorry. let me say that again. No, I'll just keep going. Croeso, and welcome to Tales for Wales, the pod that never fails to turn the air blue with a cheeky bit of whiffy banter, to never leave you with blue balls due to a lack of history, and to be always here singing the blues to you, our dear listeners. I'm Franks, and as ever, I'm joined by my very own Bonnie Blue. KJ. Hello, KJ. My little Bonnie Blue.
Your very own Bonnie Blue. Fucking getting railed by 100 dudes. That's me.
100 historic. Yeah, that's
100 historic dudes. Oh, I love it. And you said you weren't drinking tonight, you little slag. What are you doing? Oh, we've gone proper slapper tonight, haven't we?
Yeah, I'm Leslie Phillips. Not Leslie Phillips.
Leslie Phillips. Young porn star. Lily Phillips.
Leslie Phillips.
Do you know how you remember it? It's because it's the name of a young woman that could be a young porn star. Not, my name's Leslie Phillips.
Hey,
I've been doing the circuit round all for 20 years.
Bloody Les it is, right? It's Les in tonight. Hello, Ducky.
That fucking Bonnie Blue. Did she shag on me? Oh, fucking hell.
I'll have fucking 50 Vindaloos and I'll fucking still shag the arse off you, you daft bastard.
Leslie Phillips. Oh, OnlyFans legend.
Big Les. How do we used to do a lot of Northern accents, didn't we, for certain people?
Lots of people who won't even know them.
Fucking hell. I just come down here to fucking have a shag.
It's a nice, easy one to do. Fucking hell, mate.
Fucking hell. I just wanted to fucking shag Bonnie Blue, but I've ended up with Les.
Oh, shit myself.
Oh, shit myself. Derek Akora.
Yeah. Is this a line for Lily Phillips? Oh, you're joking. It's Bonnie Blue.
Fucking Bonnie Blue.
I've made a rat pig's ear of this, haven't I? Yeah, I wanted Leslie.
I wanted Big Les, you know what I mean? Like, fucking hell. I'm having...
You've got to go...
have to caveat. It's like when we do our Southern voice. It's like, I say. You got to do the old, oh, right, you daft bastards, the lawyers.
It gets the vocal cords in the right frame of mind.
Do you know the voice I was doing loads? I can't do it anymore. Get it off! You know that the guy who's getting squished by the he's that like guy from the valley. He's trying to do the bench press.
He sounds like Barbosa, he's brilliant.
Yeah.
I just realized I haven't brought my fucking Voddy up. Can you give me what 2 seconds? I'm gonna run down. We'll end this out and do like elevator noise. Right. I can't do it. What do you want me to do? Do it down with Edison?
What do you want me to do? Right.
No,
you
go down, what go can on. I do? Yeah. Right, you go 2 seconds.
Right, you're left with me, lads. Big fucking Les. Right. So you ever thought to yourself that you're listening to a fucking two Welsh lads frig themselves silly whilst you listen to a little bit of history? You'll strap in and strap up because you're going to get the ride of your life tonight, lads. I fucking tell you, it's Big Les, and I'm here to say Welsh history for another day. I love that. I love you. Do you love me?
This is what it'd be like if I did my own pod.
Do you love me? My father never loved me. He used to say I was a fat lad, but really, I'm just a lovely lad with a big hat.
And I could hear you as soon as I left the mic alone. I could hear, on the thing. I knew you were doing something in the northern accent.
I was sat here with my arms on the back of the sofa, like I was really spread eagle.
Getting really into it.
Tits out, yeah.
Apologies. Leave my vodka down. This absolute amateur. Well, who am I, fucking Lily Phillips on my first day as a mattress actress? I don't think so.
So you need to be more like Les, because she's a pro.
I need to be Les, she's like a pro, yeah.
It was like a pint of Bovril between shoots. I wasn't going to drink tonight, but I had one final can of Carlsberg Export, and it's been in the fridge for like 6 days. It was fucking ice cold, and I just poured it in, and it felt like in a cartoon, like when a pie is on a silk, you know, like on the windowsill.
The smell like grabs you by the nose, and it pulls you away.
I just levitated for a couple of minutes. I was like, oh.
You're going to say like the heart beats out your chest, and you're like, ooga, ooga.
You got the old wolf eyes.
Yeah.
So how the hell are you, mate?
You're right.
I'm good, mate. I'm good. Yeah, I've had a few drinks, not too many. I knew that you were joining. We were doing this one a bit late.
Yeah,
but I've had like maybe 4, 5, but like not too strong. Ease, they're all right.
Couple of
and
bodies.
What's 4 and 5 between friends, isn't it?
But and it's a Thursday. Thursday.
Exactly, and it's Thursday.
When it comes
Thursday.
To condoms, put 2 on. Do you remember that song?
Yeah,
ASAP Rocky. Why does he put 2 johnnies on? What a fucking dork. Like what? He was like meant to be like rapping. He's meant to be like bragging.
I thought that was I can't remember what the fucking names were now. But yeah, it's I used to know that song because it was like in uni, wasn't it? And it was like a very
Alan
stoner
College.
Sort of thing.
Yeah,
I love drinking. Yeah, I was like, oh, this speaks to me, bro.
It's on another level. Like, how does he just find the words what I'm after?
I do remember. Time isn't wasted when you're getting wasted. And I was like, oh, mate, are you fucking Socrates or something? If
I bet you
it's philosophical
ASAP Rocky.
Rhymings.
ASAP Rocky's like an
I don't think it is, no.
But it is called ASAP someone. ASAP Rocky's a rapper, isn't he? But I bet you.
I love college. Let's just look it
I
up.
Love
your power of the internet. They're called Asheroth.
Asheroth, yeah.
Asheroth. I love college.
Yeah, and I love drinking. I mean,
it's the most
fair,
like minimal. You couldn't call it singing. You're just talking.
Yeah. I like Welsh history. Yes. And I like drinking. Like, also, yes.
Yeah. Man, I love Tales for Wales. Whoop, whoop, whoop.
Yeah, we should definitely get someone to like do an intro.
Let's get Asheroth to do it. I don't think they're doing anything these days, are they?
You could like pay him on a not OnlyFans. What's the legit OnlyFans?
Oh, I know what you mean. Yeah, where it's like you can get the Cameo
Farage.
Is it called?
Yeah, Cameo.
You can get Farage say up the Ra and stuff like that. Yeah.
I got a cameo for this guy. I've sent you him. He has like an old man filter on, and he says things like, "Oh, listen to this, and I'll say words. You'll either hear one word or you'll hear another." And he goes, "Piss flap flap fanny farts." And he says like really stupid. He's like, "Piss flaps fanny farts," all really quickly. And it's so childish.
I know you are on about. I follow him on Insta, but I can't think of his bloody name now.
Well, I really like him, and I always sent it to my mate Geth, and I always sent it to him, and then. For Geth's birthday, I got him a message from that guy on the app you just mentioned.
Oh, a little cameo.
And then I said to Geth in the lead up, I was like, "Oh, mate, how funny is that guy?" He's like, "Do you know what? I really don't like him. Every time he sends me one of those videos, I'm like, fuck, this is shit." And I was like, oh, no.
Well, check your inbox, fella. You're welcome.
Ollie got me a message from John Robbins for my stag do, didn't he?
I remember that. That got everyone really buzzed up because we were setting off for your stag do, if I recall. And then he dropped in and it was very good. Got us all very jazzed up.
Dysentery for 48 hours.
Yeah, you did not have a productive stag because the boozing gods decided to blight you just as
I had
leaving.
A big first day. But I've had enough big days to make them all laugh. And it was class just being there. Exactly. So
I've had enough
up.
Big days before more than you've had hot dinners, mate. Remember when people say that a lot?
This podcast is really falling off.
Nah, it's all right. I think we've always been like this.
Yeah, true.
Back in day with Leslie Phillips.
Back in day, you used to say things like hot dinners and you could fucking wave an English flag.
We've done stupid accents all through our run. We say, remember when that used to happen? We do that quite a lot.
I mean, to be fair, our whole podcast is, remember back in history? We are a bit of a member podcast.
That's true.
So, yeah.
You've got to say, we're on type, yeah?
That was scary. Do you remember? I keep thinking that Liam Neeson clip where that was scary.
Oh, God, doing us. The earthquake. When he does the, I'm not going to do, every time I want to, there's a real like hardcore urge in me to do the impression, but you cannot do it.
We covered that on the last Patreon, I think, didn't we? That was scary.
Guys, just join for that, and then sack it off if you want, because that's a fucking funny episode. It's just if you haven't seen the clip, go just Google. Yeah. What would you?
No,
Liam
save
Neeson
it. Then get to the Patreon, mate. Oh,
actually, do the Patreon. It doesn't exist on the internet.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, we had to download it from the Bonnie Blue web, from the old dark webbers. So get around to that way.
I had to DM Bonnie Blue and say, "Do you have this clip?"
Bonners.
It's yours for 50 quid. I said, "Bon, come on, come on, man,
come on, my little shit, Bon,
come on, Bon, come on, Bon, my chewy little Bon, come on, don't just stop it, Bon,
stop it, Bon, no,
oh, what a deep cut."
Yeah.
Accio Bon. Stop
this podcast. This might be an episode just for us tonight, so apologies.
It's just ended, yeah. History in this in a bit,
yeah,
don't worry.
This year. Should we do a shout out for the Patreon?
Oh yeah, the old Patreons. Those are pump our lifeblood.
Oh, guess who? Oh no, I just saw a personalized artwork is due for someone called Blue Spirit, Bonnie Blue Spirit.
We've
already done Bonnie Blue.
Yeah, Bonnie Blue. Why didn't we come up with that? Maybe we did. I don't know. I don't remember half the episodes we do.
No, I don't remember a single episode.
I only remember them if I edit them. That's the only time I remember them. Next in line.
Next in line. We went to school with someone with this name. So we got Jamie Davis next as the next Patreon
shout-out. The same one.
Well, if it is, this guy used to rip his pubes out and sprinkle them on your paper. And he used to in Welsh, he'd go, pubes on a papyrus, pubes on a papyrus, which means pubes on the paper. And he'd just go,
pubes on the paper, pubes on the paper, just sprinkle his pubes on your book. While you're trying to do some fucking homework.
Rip his pubes out of his pubic region and just fucking sprinkle them on his own book.
If nothing else, testament to his pain tolerance, because that's hardcore. Yeah. And yeah, like you said, I'd forgotten that. He used to do it on his own book. Like, as if he fucking couldn't find anyone else's, he'd be like,
well, it wasn't like it was bullying. He was just enjoying sharing the old tubes and a papid.
Yeah. I mean, Jesus Christ. I mean, what do you say about that, really?
I reckon Jamie's a aperitif.
Sorry, Jamie Davis, you've joined our Patreon in good faith, and now we're going to start calling you Pubes
on
a Papyrus.
Davis, which I think is...
Pubes on a Papyrus.
Pubes on a Papyrus.
If I don't know what your hopes were, Jamie, joining our Patreon, but I'm pretty sure it probably involved being called Pubes on the Paper.
Yeah. Well, thank you for your hard-earned paper, because...
Thank you. For your pubes, and thank you for your papers as well.
I'm pretty sure
we've
published this a few times. We've gone on about the Patreon a bit recently, so I won't go on too much. But if you get on there, there's like three tiers, £1, £5, £10, and a free tier. And you get different bonuses for each one, blah, blah, blah. Two episodes a month, all that malarkey.
Even join the free one if you want, because we still post stuff on the free one. You know.
Yeah. So I would say the app is fucking hot garbage, so it is annoying to go on, but... You can also
someone DM'd us and he was on about, he said,
Spotify.
Oh, is it? Yeah, he said, is there a way you can stream your Patreon stuff through your Spotify or through iTunes? Mm. And apparently there is, because instead of going, I don't know, mate, I'm not fucking texting.
What are you all about?
I actually, because of your Patreon, I gave a shit. Yeah. So I was like, oh, I'll look into this. And there is a way of doing it. I can't remember how, you're going to have to look it up, but there's a way of doing it.
Did you not go back to him and say how?
Oh, I did. Don't worry. I sent a little link to the how-to bit. That's really good to know. Yeah. Fucking cancel. Yeah, not going back to you.
Well, Patreons keep the lights on. We're a listener-supported podcast, so diolch yn fawr. Thank
you. But as we said, the app is garbage. So, if you don't want to use that, there's ways around it.
I mean, I do have the app, and I listen to a bunch on there, but it's crazy. They take so much money from us. They take like 40% of all of our earnings, and then they just have... It's just not the best experience for people on there. But it is. It's how people keep our lights on and blah, 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 blah.
We need to work out a way to seize the means of production, don't
also,
we? With a proletariat. So.
Do it via, if you can, do it. Get Patreon via the website, I think, rather than the app. I think you might save a bit of money that way.
Yes, if you're on iPhone or Apple, don't do it on the app, because you'll get fucking butt raped on the
Steve fucking Jobs will fucking yob your money off you.
Yeah, Steve Jobs will Steve Rob you, mate. So don't
Steve
do it.
Knob. Fuck off, you fucking tail wearing cunt.
How many rhymes can we do with the ob sound? I wonder.
Steve on the blob, you fucking nonce.
Good one.
Is he dead?
Yeah, long dead, mate. Died
God
ages
rest
ago.
His soul. I didn't even know he was sick.
Peace be upon him, though. Fair folks.
That's that. What's his name? The guy, that really funny American comedian who's dead. Fuck, what's he called? I think maybe that deadpan guy who I always fucking send you his stuff.
Fucking hell, why can't Norm MacDonald?
Norm MacDonald. That's his joke when he's going on about Hitler. He goes, the more I read about this guy, the less I like. And then he goes on, he goes, 6 million? 6 million? And then, then his co-host is like, yeah, he's dead. And then Norm goes, oh, I didn't even know he was sick. And it just really makes me laugh.
He goes, the more I read about this guy, the more he seems like kind of a jerk.
I fucking love Norm. All right, shall we get into our dirty little blue books?
Yeah, go on then. They're not as exciting as blue books entails. They're not like blue movies. Yeah. But anyway, we'll get on to it. So today, I want to cover something that only recently came to my attention. As always, me and Franks, we don't look at the world the same since starting this podcast. We just divide things into what can be used on the podcast and what is useless shit, right? Yeah. So, and luckily, this one was what can be used on the podcast. It's just literally, we've been making jokes and we always go, stop it, save it. It's like you're using up all the good gear. Yeah.
It's annoying because I see you and speak to you every single day.
Quite often, so, we have to like curb it almost.
Yeah,
see, our text conversation since the pod started up, but dry as a bone.
Although we are going on a little romantic getaway to Pembroke, which is going to be sick.
Yeah,
2 days.
But again,
we'll talk about that later. Sorry,
is in league of the pod as well.
Yeah, I know.
it's our excuse to do everything together.
Yeah.
Why are you holding hands? Oh, it's hard.
Why are you necking
it?
For? Why are you putting pins on my paper?
Yeah. It's a bit, okay? It's a bit for the patrons.
Come on.
Anyway, right. So, yeah, like I said, discovered this one. And if you're like me, it'll be one of those ones that will make you quite annoyed because, once again, we're touching on an example when the English next door decided to be little bastards to us lovely Welsh folk. Mm. And this event is known as Brad y Llyfrau Glacion, or The Treachery of the Blue Books in English. It all started during the early 1800s when Wales was going through significant social and cultural changes thanks to the Industrial Revolution. Many areas in Wales were transformed by industry and gained a large influx of workers, not just from other areas of Wales, but from other nations in the UK as well. These areas grew in prosperity while more rural areas were being left behind, sort of financially and what's the word? I was about to say financially and economically. Those are the same words, really, but you get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
There had also been workers' uprisings like Rebecca Riots and the Chartist movements in recent years as well. We've done episodes on those. Go check them out. They're pretty good. And also coupled with this was the rise of non-conformist chapels in Wales. And those were challenging the authority of the Anglican Church as well, which was like looking after the religious side of the whole thing.
It's worth saying, Wales is a incredibly pious, hugely religious country. And it's kind of why the language has done well. It survived because the churches could continue operating in Welsh. And that kind of helped keep the language going, but also
things like having the Bible in Welsh and things like helped a lot.
And having these non-conformist churches, which were really big in Wales, was like a big part of Welsh identity.
Definitely, yeah. So as well, at this time in Wales, education was very informal. It was only really being taught in Sunday schools through the medium of Welsh. So they didn't have school like we do today, where Monday to Friday, your kids are going in. It was basically you only got taught a little bit on Sundays. Very informal, not the best. So all this combined to make the English next door a bit wary of the differences growing between them and the Welsh and the potential for the rise of nationalism in our lovely green and pleasant land. Because of this and the historical tendency the English have for sticking their bloody beaks into Welsh business, they commissioned an inquiry in 1846 to assess the state of education in Wales. Leading the inquiry were three Englishmen, R.R.W. Lingen, J.C. Simmons, and H.R. Vaughan Johnson, who would visit Welsh schools, interview teachers, clergy, and local officials, and assess the nation's literacy, curriculum, discipline, and moral standards. In the eyes of the government at the time, these were the ideal candidates to investigate, despite not speaking a lick of Welsh between them and having absolutely zero knowledge of Welsh culture. The findings of their inquiry were published in 1847 as a series of reports that were bound in blue covers, hence the name the Blue Books. And when the Blue Books were released, they painted a very negative view of Wales, which infuriated people across the country, especially because in England they took these sort of awful opinions expressed in the reports just at face value. They just assumed that these guys did their jobs correctly and were like, Welsh.
Reading the newspaper about migrants and believing that's the whole story, you could say.
It's funny how history rhymes like that, isn't it?
Yes.
Satire, guys.
Yes. Satire, yeah. If you ever draw an English flag in Wales...
Oh, on Welsh soil,
I will personally build a mosque in your garden, and I will invite thousands of people to go live there. Fucking I hate when I saw they did that on that Llandudno roundabout. I thought, you fucking, they're so thick that they think, oh, this is, they're attacking our country. They're like these poor migrants, that they're the reason why things are shit. They're attacking our country. What I'm going to do is go to another country and put my flag on it and be like, yeah, this is it.
Absolutely infuriating.
Do you hear that guy on LBC?
What was it?
So he was on about saying,
make me angry.
He was on about like, oh, how, you know, nowadays, that you can't, he's on about something about how there's not any more Britain, or there's not enough British people left. And he was like, well, how, and Nick Ferrari was like, well, how do you know if someone's British or not? Because, like, obviously, you could be Pakistan, you could have Pakistani heritage, but you're British, you're born in Britain, you're a British person.
Mm.
And he's obviously saying, unless you're white, you're not British. And then
that's exactly what I'm saying.
And Nick Ferrari was like, so what, if you're Welsh, when you say British, you mean Welsh? You went, oh, Welsh, you kick them out as well. I'm talking about Britain. And I left a comment. Oh. I never comment. And I was like, the fucking irony of the Welsh being the Britons, the original Britons, and he means the Anglo-Saxons, or he means the Normans. And he doesn't even understand that what he's saying is, I want the Britons to come back. That means we'd be fucking running Westminster.
I would say that would probably mean he was kicked out if we're going to go back to the fucking roots, all right?
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to be fucking like, you know, we're preaching to who I imagine are nice, kind-hearted folk who are ready, like,
I know, but I'd like to think that they're just as annoyed as we are, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I know this is a tangent, but I don't mind indulging it for a little bit, because it's worth saying. If you are fucking painting an English flag anywhere on a roundabout, on a sign in Wales or something, you're just a cunt. There's just no other way around it, in my opinion. Simple as. And
when I said I'll build a mosque, it wasn't like I don't like mosques. I just think it's so funny that people hate a mosque so much. If I built it on their garden, it'd be so funny.
I was going to say, if I find out any English person that I can contact or get a hold of is painting English flags on Welsh soil, just bring me and my mates and we'll camp in your fucking front garden. You think people asylum seekers are bad? Wait till you fucking see us, mate.
On the Patreon, I'll talk about Eddington, the film I saw yesterday, which covers a bit of this. I think it's really interesting, but people should catch that if they can whilst it's still in the cinema.
Sign up,
anyway.
Guys.
Sorry, man.
You can hear the rest of this rant. Yeah, we'll cut the rant short here. We'll save the bile and the venom for that. Anyway, where was I? So
Bonnie
basically, as I said, that Bonnie Blues books in England, they just took them on face value. People in Wales furious about them. And I'll get on into what was actually said in the Blue Books, but it's worth noting that while there's some differing opinions on how intentional the generalizations and the mischaracterizations were, I'd argue that there's just no way that these three guys could be impartial. There were three young English law graduates who knew absolutely nothing about the country they're going in to judge. So I just don't feel like you can go in. If you don't speak the language there, you're relying on interpreters and things like that. You're just not going to get a clear picture. But there's also a lot of evidence that one of the commissioners, R.R.W. Lingan, was particularly anti-Welsh in his investigations. He often asked overly complex questions, botched translations, and misinterpreted staff and pupils' answers. So it was like almost
that
a deliberate
feels like,
kind of obfuscation.
Gay boys say what? That kind of vibe.
Yeah. My excuse me, teacher of this Welsh Sunday school. Can I just ask my first question? It looks like you dropped your gay card.
Yeah.
What?
All
Welsh teachers are gay. That's in the blue books now. Sorry.
It does seem like, I don't know. It's because it's like colonial, isn't it? And like Wales is England's first colony. Mm. Like I know you'll probably talk about the ramifications of what happened after the Blue Books, but like sending off three guys who aren't Welsh, who have no knowledge of the area, and be like, well, I'm coming to fix this place. You have no idea what you're up to, you little scoundrels.
Yeah.
It just is so
you
fucking,
poor bastards. You have no idea, do you? I have no idea how the real world works. Yeah. I do like the idea of them just doing school ground stuff like that. They're like, my second question, Miss Jones, do you have a pal? Oh, I have many pals. Oh, personal arse lickers. Loser.
That shit. Is that one pal?
Do you remember that in school?
No,
yeah.
I don't remember.
Do you have a pal? Yeah. What, a personal arse licker?
But that sounds like it's good for you because you've got the personal one.
I've got a personal arse one. Yeah, it must be royalty.
And the hyper light, mate.
I'm sure fine. You could rephrase it. Are you someone's pal? You know, there we go. I know we could have fun with that for a while, but anyway, I'm moving on. This is serious now. Okay,
come on.
So, come on, yeah, get it back in gear now. So there was also the issue. Like I said, he was using the botched translations, misinterpreting stuff, and people answers complex questions. Yada yada. There was also an issue that. The fact that in Wales at the time, it was a very non-conformist country. Lots of the population, as I mentioned earlier, they were shifting to chapels instead of the traditional churches.
And do you want to say what like a non-conformist is, just in case people aren't too sure?
Yeah, so the non-conformist chapels, they were basically like a breakaway from the Church of England, which was like the essentially governing body, I guess you call it, for all the religious worshipping places of worship, is that the right word for them?
Yeah.
Like churches basically across the UK. And it was basically a central to, it eventually became central to like Welsh identity and culture because these were Welsh speaking churches. They didn't like being told what to fucking do. Shocked.
And it's like, it's Wales is a very different country to England and it's, you know, hugely community based as is parts of England, but it's not a one church fits all rule. So a church in England was very, like you said, pomp. It's, you know, a lot of ceremony, less focused on
it's
like
it's associated a lot more with like riches as well. You know, you know how like grand everything is in like churches, diamonds and like gold on everything. This was a bit more like back to basics. So.
A church in England would have, you know, loads of wealth behind it, whereas we have a chapel in Wales, which is a lot more like a community building.
Or they were like knocked up buildings, weren't they? Nothing too fucking spanny on it.
I'm not sure we explained that very well, but you get the gist. It's slightly, it's a different kind of church, a Welsh church, Welshified.
The Welsh just wanted to do it a little bit differently, that's all. And the Church of England weren't very happy about this. Well, they had the sort of Anglican top brass. So basically, because of this, it was becoming a non-conformist country. Like I said, shifting to chapels instead of churches. Some sources do say that the books, they were like way too weighted of the opinions and findings of prejudiced landowners and local Anglican clergy even. So the local Anglican clergy and like the landowners and things like that, they were quite angry at how successful these chapels were becoming. And because a lot of those, like the higher up landowners and the clergy were English or first language English, certainly, the Blue Books gave way more like weight to their opinions in their reports. Yeah. So, of course, they're going to be sort of negatively on the Welsh. So, like I said, this sounds like a bit of a botched job, even before we get into the findings, which once you hear them, you'll realise it can't possibly be an objective look into the state of things. So I'll go through four of the key findings that the Blue Books made, which is what riled up the Welsh. So first and foremost, the Welsh people are ignorant, lazy and immoral.
Literally says that. Strong stuff.
Not even like, oh, if you had to condense into one sentence, is that what they're trying to say? That's what they said in the Blue Books. The Welsh language was a barrier to progress and education. Non-conformist chapels
were fostering
dissent. If
you read Wales
Online
comments, they still agree with that.
Yeah, exactly. Non-conformist chapels were fostering dissent and undermining authority. I guess the fucking Anglican clergy were probably the ones behind that one. And the last one was the Welsh women were portrayed as particularly lacking in virtue. A nation of Bonnie Blues. That to me sounds outside of the purview of the look into education in Wales. To me, it's as if like the guys just went, and they're all slags down here as well. I hate them.
Tats. A lot of them.
Yeah, sorry, guys. This was about the education in Wales. Listen, you wouldn't believe them down there. Bunch of Leslie Phillipses and Bonnie Blues. But yeah, it's mad that they just released that and they went like, look, this is our totally down the middle, fucking unbiased, objective look at your country, okay? I'm sorry that you guys are all thick, ignorant, fucking dullards and your women are slags. That's not my fault. This is just saying how it is. I say how it is, okay? I've looked at the evidence. That's what it says. The official reaction in Wales was that they were fucking tamping, fuming, raging, as you could imagine. And the blue book, and they all thought the blue books were a deliberate attack on Welsh identity, language, and culture, a tool of cultural imperialism aimed at enforcing English norms on the Welsh, including a further weakening of the Welsh language, and also an evidence of national prejudice. So they weren't very happy at all. This is why the event is known as the Treachery, or a Brad in Welsh. The anger at the report lasted for years in Wales. As a direct result, the clerics of the established Anglican churches were considered enemies of the common Welsh people. This drove more people from them to the doors of the chapels, which is, it's quite ironic that they were so fucking horrible in their report. And then it's like, yeah, that's not going to get people back, is it? You know, like going, you guys, anyway, that's what you get for talking shit, you bloody crizzos.
You make more friends, you catch more flies with honey than with tits or whatever the
vinegar was it? Bonnie Blue's with tits.
Who would try and catch a fucking fly with vinegar? Fucking dullard.
Yeah, probably a dullard Welsh person, wouldn't it?
Some tart of a Welsh person. Some tits.
Thick tart from Wales, the Welsh education system. Joke. Anyway. Journalists, they across the country in Wales, they attacked the claims in the Blue Books with both satire and statistical analysis, especially one notable journalist named Evan Jones, a famous nonconformist who also gave many a speech under his bardic name, Ieuan Gwynedd. The whole debacle made the idea of being Welsh synonymous with nonconformity, which spurred on more passion in the country to differentiate themselves from the English. I do like the irony in that by like slagging us off so badly in this report, they actually everyone in Wales was just like, you know what, fuck it, I'd rather double down with my thick, monotonous slags than be the same as you. In the wider UK context, the report and the reactions to it did highlight the dangers of cultural insensitivity when it came to policymaking, with the Elementary Education Act of 1870 making education more consistent and accessible. That basically got people, kids into school like 5 times a week. I think it might have been 4 times a week originally, but it stopped being from like, you know, you were lucky to have it if you were close enough to a church or a chapel to, it had to become a mandatory thing. Although this did also, this was, even though this was a positive bit of legislation in Wales, it did also get implemented through like an English lens. So it wasn't best for Wales.
So I assume that's where the Welsh not stems from.
Well, I tried to find a connection between this and the Welsh knot. It's nothing in the Blue Book suggests like that much of a damning thing against the Welsh language. I think it is all a knock-on effect, you know?
I think because then they try and educate via the medium of English because they deem the Welsh language as a barrier to progression.
You could certainly make a case for it being like a domino, you know, go in and then as it goes down the line, that's when you get things like that were much more anti, much more like aggressively anti-Welsh.
Yeah.
But yeah, the legacy of the Blue Books is that of an important, although very biased, historical document. Saunders Lewis discussed them in a BBC address called Tongue-Edged Iaith, or Fate of the Language in English, and he described them as the most important 19th century historical documents we possess. Because for Welsh history, as their effect was to turn Wales into a more bilingual country, because people had to, the kids had to learn English from then on and become, so they all had a second language. His argument was that if we didn't all learn the English, they would have come and just, you know, stamped out the Welsh and been like, this is nonsense, you have to learn English now. So by sort of semi getting on board with it, we perpetuate the language. I know, you know, we've talked about that in history before, where we sort of get on board and we get to keep our little corner of the culture as well.
I mean, every country kind of does learn English, so it's much, it's the reality of the world, isn't it? It's
there was so much trade even back there, you know,
I read a book recently, like the reason why they didn't care about Wales for so long, like literally after like when Henry like VIII brought in the Laws of Wales Act and stuff like that, Wales was kind of left alone then for like 300 years in the sense of like there was no rebellions to quell, but there wasn't also a, all right, we're stamping out the language. The only reason this came about is because, like you said, the Industrial Revolution came and Wales then became important because it had so much minerals. So for ages, it was like, well, it was a really unpopulated land, lots and lots of like farming and gaps between cities, and so not even cities back then, but like gaps between communities, and the rest of England were like, well, we don't really give a fuck, it doesn't mean anything to us. So Welsh language got away unscathed, and then when they started, like you said, in the industrial side.
Well, that's it. Like, oh, once they was like, oh, there's something we want interest. Now. It's yeah. like, right, you're going to have to all do it our way. Yeah. And if you don't, yeah. then yeah, we're going to start kicking so off.
So that was like the real assault on Welsh culture and Welsh language, like 300 years old. Fucking, if you count 1282 is the last time there was an independent Wales. The identity of Wales still survived pretty strongly. The language of Wales was never too much under attack. It wasn't until the 19th century, 1800s, when that changed.
Yeah, we did all right for a bit.
Yeah. Well, yeah. A long time. It just said, mate. It just said loads of years.
And Nia Mohid, anyway. So let's just insert that. So, yeah. Coming up to the end now, basically. But after that Saunders Lewis bit, there was also staunch critics of the book at the time. They gained a lot of wide publicity, and the criticism eventually turned into political action, leading to the general election of 1868, which saw the Liberal Party defeat the Conservatives. So it did have like a kind of knock-on effect and a bit more of a rallying cry for like a fairer system. But there was also, my last thing I want to mention, there was also a play published by a guy named Robert Jones Dedvell, 7 years after the report was released, which satirized the whole thing. Yeah. And I'm not really into like my theatre myself, but this just sounded quite funny. So a quote I found about it said, "The play opens in hell, where the devil decides that the Welsh people are too good and too godly and are becoming more godly by the hour thanks to the influence of nonconformity. He promptly hatches a plan with the English to bring down this pure and godly people." And I thought, that was worth mentioning. What a great way to start. It's like, oh, we're just so fucking shit out the Welsh. The devil's conspiring with the English to bring us down. That's that's Brad y Llyfrau Gleision, or The Treachery of the Blue Books. Another reason to be angry at the English, guys. So next time you're in the pub and the English guy goes, what have you done to Wales? You're like, right, how long is your fucking
How long ago? And I actually know we've got a fair amount of English listeners because they sometimes message and you're the good guys, right? But it is another reason why there is...
We're not talking about you boys, all right? That's not what we're on about now.
That's the other thing. So often, I feel bad for English people because it's policies of the English government that people dislike, not English people. Because I think sometimes you can conflate it. Like I once said, you should never conflate a government with its people. Like imagine if you disliked America because you don't like Trump. Like, that's stupid. That's really not fair. And it's the same when people dislike, if they dislike Britain because of what British politics has done. I don't think you should ever judge a country by its government, despite the fact that people vote for it. Even though, I was going to say that voting doesn't matter.
Let's get out the weeds now, shall we?
Just move on. I was going to say, and even voting doesn't really matter because it doesn't really work anyway. Conor Russell Brand point. On it. Well, I like that, man. That was a whistle stop tour, but something like I've always known about them, but didn't really like study them at all.
I sort of recognised the name when I saw it. But then I was like, oh, I didn't really know the sort of extent of it or anything. Yeah. And more than anything, it's just been a great opportunity to name drop Bonnie Blue about 50 times in this. Yeah. Oh, let's at her in the when this goes out and see if she fucking cheers her.
Dilchan Granda, if you got this far, you got a great attention span and we'd really appreciate you dropping a 5-star. That really helps. And tell your mates, tell your lovers, tell your Bonnies, tell your Blues. Catch you next week.